jump into the text, John 15. If you remember John 15, it gets into the whole vine and the branches that Jesus talks about. Your connection to Jesus is really critically important. And we are theoretically having a relationship with Jesus. There's no argument about that. Everybody knows that that's sitting here. When Jesus buys you with his blood, he grafts you into the family of God. You now are connected to God. But as you know, in the same way, I can get married and I am connected to my wife. I'm legally connected. I'm spiritually connected. But, you know, it's interesting because even in that close proximity where you can see the spouse, you can see your mate, you can be disconnected and things can start happening. So when we read into John 15, where John literally gets into, I am the vine and you are the vine branches, and I want to read a little bit of that to you right now in John 15, starting at verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. He says in verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be his disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. I guess the first thing I want to touch today is that he is the vine and we are the branches, and his Father is the vine dresser. And the vine dresser is, the vine dresser comes to the vine, fertilizes, aerates, does what he has to do to have the vine growing. As humans, we have to understand that we do connect ourselves to things emotionally. I connect myself to things. We have friends, we have places, we have things we like. There's a connectivity to Jesus that is extremely important. And I think any Christian you talk to, if you say, can you tell me the different times where you kind of felt disconnected from someone, or from the Lord, or from church, or from something else? The thing about the world we live in for the Christian is there are many things that we can connect ourselves to that aren't God. There are many things that we can connect ourselves to and give our energy to that don't give life. We can tend to be disconnected from Jesus because it's just something in the flesh that if you're gonna drift away, you're gonna start disconnecting from Jesus. Now, I think being connected to Jesus is done in many ways, because according to the scripture, Raman, you're my brother. Jesus is in you. If I'm disconnected with you, I'm not helping my cause with Jesus. But then there's also a direct connect to Jesus. That's why Jesus said, as much as you did it to the least of my brethren, you've did it unto me. And he makes these different connections with him. And there's a connectivity that you feel when you're in connection with the Lord. In fact, I would even say as Christians, you went through seasons where you sat there and all of a sudden, did you ever feel it? Like, I feel disconnected. You know what I mean? You get disconnected sometimes. We need connection. Now, this isn't abstract, but you know, the same way you feel linked with somebody. You ever love somebody? And you might say, why are you using like these human examples? Because a lot is seen in the human realm, guys. And the connectivity we have with each other in many ways is a shadow that we have. How many times have you also, you know, a lot of you you're married here, and you get going, and you get busy, and you get running. And all of a sudden, it's weird. You feel a little disconnected with your mate. And we know that, and anybody here that knows, when they've had marital problems, that, like sometimes, I've heard this as a pastor, as a counselor, I just don't feel connected to them. I feel a disconnection. So my encouragement as we go into this today is to connect with Jesus. You have a sense when you're connecting with the Savior. There's many things that do it. There is the Word of God. There is prayer. I know the more I pray, I feel connected. And I think it's really important. Because if He's the vine, I'm the branch. And if I'm not connected with Him and I do things on my own, I get disconnected. And if I get disconnected, then I'm disconnected. And it starts affecting me. Now, the first thing He said in John 15:2 is, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it that it may bear more fruit. Jesus looks at my life, He looks at your life, and there is, he wants to see fruit. Now, there's a lot of things that can be fruit, and no two fruit are the same. I've seen people where they've had a prayer ministry, and they were phenomenal interceders, seriously. And if you think prayer is a simple thing, it's not. And if somebody would say prayer is not valid, again, my Lord, intercession is almost, to me, the premium. And that God's called them. I mean, God's called all of us to pray, but I've seen people in ministries, and they're bearing fruit, and the Father is pleased. Now, I got different fruit I'm going to bear because my vocation in the church is different. One of the problems when we talk about bearing fruit is that you can't look at somebody else as to how you should bear fruit. And you also, my sense on it is that you can't look at somebody, some prolific evangelist, and say, what am I? Because it would be absolutely silly. God's asked you to bear the fruit that He seeded in your life. And He's asked me to bear the fruit that He has seeded in my life. No two fruits are the same. They rarely not. I knew a man that was called, and I mentioned intercession because it, to me, is one of the dearest things to my heart. And he interceded all the time. And he was called, and I told you the story of Matt Black going to Turkey. He was called, and he prayed. I remember him being in his apartment in St. Louis area, pray. At that point, they were already going to send him, and he was readying himself. And I believe the fruit God had called him to bear was to intercede. Now, some people go, that's not valid. I would just argue and say, it is valid. And, you know, he bare that fruit. And there was a piece about Matt, because he was not only connected to the vine, he was bearing the fruit that had been seeded into him. Now, somebody could go, well, that's nothing. There's a pastor, that's fruit. Or there's a this, that's fruit. But it's not true. But here's the other thing. This is the thing I want you to really grab with your spirit. Jesus says that, you know, that if a branch doesn't bear fruit, it's taken away. But He says, every branch that bears fruit, He prunes. Now, this is tricky, and I'm going to tell you why. Have you ever got a few steps ahead and you felt like you were growing? And it felt good, and you felt like God was moving in you. You did. You had a season. It was more bright, and you felt like God was growing you, and you even did some things. You stepped up. It could be any which way for the Lord, you stepped up. You might have spoken into somebody. You might have read a verse. You might have proclaimed something in the congregation, or even more. You might have started a ministry. And then all of a sudden, I'd swear that it feels like you were going forwards, and now you're going backwards. In my opinion, as I was a young minister, I used to believe the curve goes like this. You know what I mean? You're getting up better, better, bigger, better, bigger, better. That's how God works. And I was totally wrong. I didn't understand my own scripture. Because as I would bear fruit, the attention of the master farmer, the father, it says who was the vine dresser, he would look, but he would also see things he would clip off, prune. Pruning is clipping off. I cut trees for a lot of years. I got into clipping and, you know, where you cut a tree. And when we have to cut trees, call it cutting a branch back. You've got to cut at a certain spot, you know, at the V. You don't cut in the middle of a branch. And it's funny. But as we do that, because the nourishment, you would get something called suckers. And they would be, you ever see that on a tree? Their branches in the tree, but they don't look like the tree. Sometimes their bark is different. And we clip those off. Why? They're growing just like the other branches. Well, they're not good branches, and they're actually considered almost an extra growth and they're called suckers because they suck nutrition. So there might be a tree bearing some flowers and some buds and whatever, and we see some suckers. Clip the suckers off, and then the tree bears more fruit. But it would seem like addition from subtraction, because I've taken suckers off trees and they were empty, all but two branches. But then they would shoot ahead. Sometimes we get ahead and we make a progress, and yes, the enemy will hit you, the devil will hit you, discouragement will hit you. I think that Satan likes to keep people, if he can keep you controlled to a degree, and I don't mean you're serving him, but if he can distract you and depress you and discourage you, and you're kind of going backwards. I've seen a lot of people go forwards and then God prunes them a bit because he wants them to bear more fruit. I've seen people go, I don't get it. It seems like every time I get ahead, some, you know, I get hit backwards. And they're hurting and they're in pain. It's funny, sometimes that's a sign that God is pruning you, that God loves you. Sometimes when he clips back, it's not a sign that you failed or the Father is mad or that you got nothing going on. But when you bear a little fruit, God wants to prune so that you bear more fruit. For so many times in my life, I felt like I went forwards and backwards. I did. I wondered if I even got it right. In fact, I wondered why when I went forwards, I felt like something got clipped and I went backwards. I wanted to know. It hurt. It was disturbing. And I read the New Testament even the first year I was born. I'm not kidding. 14 times. And yet the verse never kind of jumped out at me. I read it. Like, yeah, I pre-prunes the bear's fruit. And it never sunk in. And it was really some years later that I understood the pruning of God. God looks at Mike's part of the vine, and he sees stuff, and he sees it perfectly. Not like me or you, because we don't have perfect 20/20 divine vision, but the Father does. And I'm going along, and I'm bearing some fruit, you know, and I'm bearing some fruit. I'm bearing fruit. Something's going on. And then he clips something off, and many times he clips something off that I don't believe needed to be clipped off. Worse yet, I believe was wrong that it got clipped. In fact, sometimes when it comes to the growing the fruit and then the pruning, I haven't accused God, but I blame the devil. I blame people. I blame circumstances. Because not everything that's clipped is obvious. Not everything that's clipped is necessarily even evil. What if you had areas in your life that weren't evil? God just wanted to clip them out because they weren't to your benefit. And he clipped them out. And as he clipped them out, all of a sudden, the fruit starts bearing. I remember we come back to trees. It was amazing. They'd be messed up, but we'd clip suckers and different stuff. And all of a sudden, the main stalks would really take hold. And you'd go, wow. You come back the next season, and they're bearing more fruit. They're better looking. They're stronger. Everything is good. Because we took the suckers off. And sometimes we didn't even just take the suckers off. Sometimes the branches would just grow too many V's. So even what we were clipping off was actual tree. But it was needed because when we did it, it accelerated the healthiness to the other branches. Even as the vines, we get busy. And how many times, and I know you can relate to this, has God clipped your time schedule where he's actually clipped back things? Maybe he wanted you to be with him more. Maybe your attention was very divided. And he loves you that much, he loves you that much because he knows you're going to be at your premium. Like, Mike being the best Mike can be is going to be Mike walking with God. And Mike being the better Mike can be is going to be when God thins out things. If I lose my sight, he's a great father. He's perfect. He comes and he starts clipping. I admit, And I admit this to this day, that we have, all of us, sometimes a hard time letting go. It's as simple as that. It's hard to let go. Many times I would tell God, God, this is painful. This needs to be here, God. Many times I sat with the Lord in agony because he clipped something. And I wasn't too clued in that he was pruning me because he loved me. He didn't hate me. He wasn't cursing my life. He was just pruning it. He didn't want to hurt me. He didn't want me to be sad. And at the same breath, some sadness is good. The thing with the Lord is that he is moving in your life, sometimes even when you're unaware of it. Sometimes we take, I call it mental sabbaticals, you know, like I'm, you know, I see the Lord like, where'd Mike go? You know what I mean? Oh, that blur over there, I caught him. All right. And we don't see it, and God does. He does things that he's going to bring us to the place where we're connected. I remember I called up this place, and they were offering retreats to pastors and their wives, and they were like pro-family and, you know, just trying to get people together. And pastors are some of the worst sort. We're really bad, I'll be honest with you. And I was setting up because they give you a cabin for free. Now, I didn't go, and I'm going to say this right out front, because we were out of state, something got messed up, so I had to pass the data. And the director said, oh, Pastor Mike, a friend of mine called me and told me about you and excited to have you and Anna. He said, now, when you get there, we do take your cell phones, and there's no TV in the room, and there's no this and that and this and that. And I'm just kind of like, not even sports channel for 15 minutes on one day. All right, you know, can't even get a soccer game. And honestly, we're so connected that when that man threatened to disconnect me entirely, it was like, wow, we're either going to get closer or we're just going to go nuts. And they're just going to find the cabin empty in a day and wheels spinning in the driveway and we're out of there. But he said, we want you to connect. And he said, many pastors we meet, whether they got small churches or big, their job is people, and they're all over all the time. And they're so disconnected. He said, we get a lot of ministers where couples are even near divorce, even though they're in ministry, because they don't even see each other anymore. I thought about that physical thing where you cut this off, you cut that off, you don't allow this, and it forces you to talk to your mate. Sometimes it forces you to find the friend you once had. Sometimes it forces you to really see the beauty that you've been walking past every day. And as much as that may offend our senses, or we say, it's a blessing that I'm distracted because my mate doesn't like to talk to me, so it's good that he or she doesn't have to, but that's the reality. I'm the vine, you are the branches. You know, apart from me, you can bear nothing. But I want you to, I'm using all these, in a sense, these human analogies to kind of show you Jesus. It's very similar. There's a connectivity you feel with Jesus. And sometimes we get distant, and sometimes we disconnect. Sometimes we do things on our own. And the thing is, it's interesting, because also I want to say this, it's really our connection to Jesus. And somebody goes, how can I be more connected to Jesus? I've actually been asked this. I did this study in 15, even as a younger minister. I had somebody ask me once, and they said, how do I become, you know, how do I guarantee? Because the person said, I get disconnected a lot. I get distracted. I get over here. I said, the one thing I can say to you, and I'm sure there's many good things I could say if I was smarter, but I said, the one thing I could say is, dependency causes connection. You don't connect to something you don't feel you need. So here's the other challenge, to have the eyes of our spirit open to where we see the desperate need for Jesus daily. You want to know the sad thing about humans? And I put myself in this category, I really do. Because I believe it's in our nature. I believe it's in our old man. It's in our humanity. It's in our pride. We definitely kind of trudge along. And even for me, I remember many times where the only way where, you know, I'm desperate is when I'm desperate. Mm-hmm. So how can one be desperate when the world's not going to hell in a basket? When my life's not shredding into bits? That was the key God started bringing to me and saying, Mike, you tend to really grovel when there's something that really hits, but where were you last month? Never saw you. You prayed, but you're really not there. You're going through some motions, but I tried to find you. I couldn't find you. Like, where'd you go, Mike? So I took this challenge, and I said, you know, I want to be connected to divine and realize my dependency, when I have everything I need, when everything is good, when I'm happy. And I asked God to start changing my heart. I did. Now, some people go, oh, I can't believe a pastor would even do that. Listen, hey, listen, anybody that's honest, any minister, wrestles with connectivity, both with his, sometimes with his family and both with his Lord. You go, well, you preach the word every week, and I'm in the word every day, I am. But that there's a connecting to Jesus that even is kind of apart from some of that, and that you can get so busy teaching or writing sermons that you become something else. But I began to pray, and I began to say, Father, the desperate for you doesn't mean I'm in trouble, and that you want me to know that I have to have you doesn't mean I have to have something going on, because I really need you at all times anyway. It's our human tendency when we're down where dependency opens up a little bit. But there's a real vision God gives us. And even when we look at I'm the vine, you are the branches, there's a divine vision God can give all of us to where we're desperate. We're counting our blessings even when we think we don't need a blessing. Your connectivity to the Lord is as important as even when we're married, our connectivity to our spouses. We need to be connected, but what you need, you will depend on. What you depend on, you will not let go. And one of the questions that I often, this scripture reminds me, and I look in the vine and the branches, is, are you willing to ask God, Father, I need to be more dependent on you, not just when I'm crying, not just when something goes wrong. Now, a lot of times, God uses disasters to reconnect us. He uses trials to reconnect us. That's fine. But I want to explain something that I know the Lord does after that, and I've been through this. When God brings you through something that's tough, and like a lot of believers, we do cry out, Jesus, you really press us. We know our Savior. So when we get down, we do that. That's fine. But what I found the Lord does is after he lets that disaster connect you, he wants you to stay connected. So even as he works out whatever it is going on, he wants you to stay connected. I have a deep dependency on the Lord. I, in my own sense, I mean, I can't do anything without him. I can't write music. I can't preach. I can't do nothing without him. I'm dependent upon him. I have a tendency sometimes, if you were to live with me, sometimes I'm walking around saying, oh, Jesus. And I've been asked before, what's going on? Oh, nothing. I just, you know, I need him. I need him. And I'm walking around getting the jobs done that I'm doing, but I also know how desperately I need him in every step of the way. Another thing that I would think is dependency helps your connection, but obedience helps your connection. And let me explain something. Let's say my life is one that is surrendered to the Lord Jesus, because we do confess as we get saved, Jesus is Lord, which means he's master. He's running the show. Now, it's true that if I'm running in a bad direction, I'm not going to be connected, because if I'm doing something in my own way, my own, you know, steam, my own will, I'm going to not want to connect, because being connected to the vine, if I'm in rebellion, it's not an oxymoron, but it's a conflict. So it's very important that we're saying, God, I want to be obedient to your word, and I want to, you know, tell me what you want, Father, so I can listen to it. Tell me what you want so I can get in tune with it. And it's important. Dependency is going to keep us connected. And that's a given. And you don't ask God. You need to be dependent. There's no question on what we are and who we are. I would even go as far as to say this. What are the trials and the pains in your life? What are you going through? What are the things that hit you, that hurt you? They hurt you. They absolutely hurt you. They emotionally hurt you. I believe God can and will use any of that stuff to cause you to grip a hold of him. The one beauty about him being the vine and us being the vine branches is that that's directly connected. I mean, it's connected. Here's the thing. We are connected to Jesus. We are connected. Look at a vine, look at the branches. If you've come to Jesus Christ and you've received him as Savior and Lord, theoretically, you're connected. You could not be more connected. Here's the interesting thing. Technically, because of your rebirth and what Jesus has did, technically, you could be no more connected than you are. The branch on the vine could be no better connected. realizing that you're connected is really a thing of faith. It's a thing of God's vision. It's a thing of lowering our pride. Because pride says I do it on my own. Mm-hmm. Pride says I can get this done. Pride says I got this plan. I don't care if he's in it. I'm going to get it done. Pride says this, this, and this. But obviously, any connection to the vine is going to be consistent with the trunk. You don't see a peach leaf on a pine tree. You don't. Branches always resemble the exact core of what the tree is. You don't find random branches like, oh, what's that weird? I was clipping this magnolia, and I found a pear branch. And it was bare and fair. Nature itself is amazing in that when Jesus, the Son of God, actually uses an analogy of vine and branches, he makes a statement that speaks to us literally, physically, physiologically, or in this case, agriculturally. He uses a set of something that has very definite boundaries, very definite boundaries. And even nowadays, we graft stuff. There's new fruits connected because they take a fruit, but they take similar fruit. So you're not getting pineapples on an apple tree. It still has to work within the perimeter of the root identity and all the different cellular stuff with the plant. But our connection to Jesus isn't something I'm trying to do. It's something I'm trying to walk in and realize. That's the other thing that's really important. Dependency is going to cause you to be connected. But also faith. You need to see how much you need him. And then even further, the connection to Jesus, if I'm connected, it means I'm in a continuity with him. If I'm connected and I'm a branch and he's a trunk, the trunk feeds the branch and the branch either bears a fruit or something. The branch is always consistent with the trunk. Always. So being connected also does speak of, what do you want? Word-worthiness of our life, meaning, is the word of God alive in me? You know, am I listening to God? Because let's be honest, I've been rebellious as a young Christian and totally disconnected. But here's the weird thing. I went a route one time that many people said they warned me. I was a young believer. I was reckless. I was reckless. I was arrogant. I was prideful. I was all kinds of things. And I had friends try to warn me. And I did some things totally on my own. God was no part of it. But here's the trick. I never left the church. I was still in the church. I never left the church. I disconnected with the vine. And I began to disconnect with the people in the church because I was doing some stuff that just wasn't good. And yet I was still, you know, on Sundays, And this is really critical because it's important to understand that this is a personal thing. It's something that really God sees the most. Sometimes we need to connect more to the vine than we realize. And sometimes we may connect to other things that aren't, you know, a lot of times we connect to stuff no matter what. But you got to understand something. No matter what we do in our life, we're part of a vine that's eternal. We're part of a vine that's Jesus. We're part of a vine to where the very lifeblood that is in the Son of God is going directly into the branches off of the Son of God. We share a common divine life. This is a heavy thing if you think about it. This isn't necessarily just a moral issue I'm bringing up or a principle issue. This is actually if there's such a thing as spiritual physiology, spiritual cellular rules, whatever, DNA, you can talk it. Divinely, we are directly connected to Jesus. We are one branch. We don't look like we're, you know, like you could tape, you know, duct tape a branch onto it. That's not it. If you were to follow the vine down, then go to the V where the branch comes off. There's no break in it. It's continuous. It doesn't break at all. It's one branch off of the vine. And you are as much a part of the vine as you are being a branch. They're interconnected. But isn't it funny? Because we've seen this. You can go to any bush, any tree, anything. You can cut a lot of branches off and it's okay. But all that's okay when you cut the branches off is the core, is the trunk. The branches die quickly. We've been on hot days where we clipped off lots of branches. I can't even count. And so many times you clip off so much, and we'd be working a long day, and you'd go look, and the leaves, even from the time we clipped them, were already starting to fall and wither because they were disconnected. They might look good for an hour, you know, seriously. They might look good for an hour, but within 9, 10 hours, and even if we went back the next day or 2 days later, all that green was brown and they were curled up and they were dead. It's funny, he says, every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. Now that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because it implies that God wants fruit. It implies that God expects fruit. It implies that it gives joy. Now he says something in verse 3. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Now there's something really important. When he tells the disciples, you're already clean, that's an interesting statement. I oftentimes read that and went, I'm kind of losing you, Jesus. What did you mean you're already clean? You got to understand something. Jesus, hear this, guys. Jesus had already trained and spoken to them. Are you with me? He had already been with them. He had equipped them. They were ready to bear fruit. In a lot of ways, we believers were ready to bear fruit almost at every stage of our walk. One of the problems is a lot of bad concepts as far as what is really fruit, what is not fruit. I'm not like them, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. But he tells his disciples, you're already clean because of the word I spoke. And what I mean is this. Jesus had spoken over them as to what they were, as to what they would do. He had equipped them. They had knowledge of the Son of God. So when Jesus says, you're already clean, it's a powerful statement, because if he was sitting here visibly with you right now, because you're believers, because the word is in you, because you've received Jesus, he would say, Armand, you are already clean, Armand, because of the word which I spoke. So it is time, because I've spoke, it is time you can bear fruit. It's a powerful thing. And I want you to understand, there's almost a contradiction here, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Jesus is talking to these guys about bearing fruit and their identity as the vine branches. And I want you to think, and this, it almost defies logic, because think about if you're Jesus, perfect knowledge, right? Discern, could read your mail like no else, because he was God the Son, right? Peter, you are already clean, even though Peter would deny him. Think about this for a second. Thomas, you are already clean. You will doubt that I was even raised from the dead. John, you are already clean. I can go through the apostles and show the fault and the flaw, and yet Jesus is saying, you are already clean because of the word which I spoke. Now, this speaks of a couple things. The grace of God buys us. The grace of God buys us. The grace of God cleanses us. The grace of God makes us what we are. I am not promoting loose living and being evil once you've called in the name of the Lord. But the reality that the readiness that God says, Mike, you're clean because of the word which I spoke to you, go bear fruit. And he's saying this to guys that he knows. Peter's going to deny him. Peter is going to swear. Peter's not only going to deny him once, he's not only going to deny him twice. He's going to deny him 3 times, and at the 3rd time he begins to curse, to absolutely show he has no connection to Jesus. How do you tell Peter you're already clean because of the word which I spoke? Thomas says, I will not believe unless I put my finger into his side. If I was Jesus, I had a good mind to leave Thomas out in the cold because he's a non-believer. He wouldn't believe. But he says, reach into my hand, reach into my side. And he actually proves it by showing him, which is not faith. But he does it to say, Thomas, you need to believe without your eyes. Versus, think about this. So many people say, I can't bear fruit, I'm not clean. I can't bear fruit, you don't know me. I can't bear fruit, you don't understand. I can't bear fruit, I'm not like this guy or this woman or this and this. And Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. But then he does say something. He says, abide in me. Abide in me. Abide in me and I in you. Abide in me and I in you. He's like, you're ready. I've spoken. I've equipped. I've taught you, but abide in me. And whenever you get a verse like that where it says abide in me, there is a possibility that we choose to not abide in the Savior, even though we're connected, even though he's did the work, even though he said the words. Abide in me and I in you. You know, you be in me, I will be in you. There's an intimacy with the vine that's amazing. And it is not in language that speaks of technicality, but it's in language that speaks of relationship. It's in language that speaks of intimacy. Abide in me and I in you. I want you to abide in me and I want to abide in you. That's pretty crazy. And yet, he gives these guys this lesson. This is what's going to go on. You know, a lot of people, I can only imagine. Can you imagine Peter? It says he went out after the third denial and it says he wept bitterly. The Greek word is extremely strong. Peter wasn't just upset that he had denied the Lord. He was crushed. Peter couldn't even cope. I wonder if that went through his mind. You're already clean. I wonder if he said, I'm not. I wonder if he said, I can't. I loved in the movie The Passion, and they did that really good. And I give the director credit when you've seen, if you remember Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Martha, and after he had denied, he, you know, they came up to him, and he was crying on his knees, and he ran away from them. Abide in me, and I in you. You're already clean. I spoke to you. You're already clean. I've declared over you. You're already clean. I've told you what you are. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and they cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. Guys, there's a simple thing about words of God abiding in Mike Cipella. The words of God can abide in Mike when Mike lets the word of God do what they're supposed to. When Mike lets the word of God become action. The word of God wants to find an abiding place in me, and it's going to want to find an abiding place in me in the areas of my life. It's as simple. And here's one of the things, as you're growing in Christ, as you've been a believer, one of the things even from the scripture that we know God is doing, he knows the word needs to become flesh. He knows is his word is not just about morally running your life, but the word of God comes out of us in action. It comes out of us in mood. It comes out of us in character. It comes out of us even in the way our emotions are. It comes out of us in the way we live. It comes out of us in the way we think. This is when he says, let my words abide in you. My words, you know, it's interesting. Have you ever seen a place that's hostile to a certain thing? You know, I think of a silly kind of example, but I mean, it'd be like a black man showing up at a KKK meeting. There's nowhere for him to abide. Absolutely. Am I correct? Yeah, I could just see that I'd come for the meeting, and the guy would go, what? But I think of the open arms and love, and I think of somebody coming and saying, I want to abide here, and they say, come on in, you're welcome, all are welcome. God's word wants to abide in Mike. It really does. There's an odd thing about imperfection and flaw. There really is. There's an oddity that God sees your brokenness, and the Lord sees. He sees your brokenness. Think about something. God not only sees the surface of Mike, or even what I think I'm so right in, but he sees every mechanism in me. I just don't believe he sees utter perfection. I know better. And yet he says, you're already clean and bear fruit and abide in me. Let my word abide in you. And let's be honest. Is not our Christian life sometimes like a long-term eviction notice? Oh, yeah, that can't be here no more. Oh, yeah, you're gone. But it is a progressive thing. It is a progressive thing. The word comes to you in seasons, and it takes root, and it gets strong, and it starts coming out in your actions, your emotions, and the way you make decisions. But it is a growing experience. That's why it says in Romans 8 that we're being metamorphosized into the image of Jesus. It didn't say you are the image of Jesus. It says you're being conformed to the image of Jesus. You know what that means? God is dealing with you every day. He's dealing with you every month. He's dealing with you every year, and he's further shaping you, and he's further transforming you into the image of Christ. That's what he's doing. I'm almost done here. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Great promise. I've come to the conclusion at my age that sometimes there's trials. Sometimes you don't have everything, you know, everything doesn't line up all the time. And that's where God increases our faith, seriously. Sometimes God is removing things. He's pruning. And so it's not a matter that he's going to say something it's going to always be perfect. But I thought about something. I've come to the conclusion that I think in my life that I've prayed some things that were God, and I think I prayed some things that weren't. They might have had a religious tonation to them, intonation, but they still were not God. And God being the perfect Father is like, Mike, I love you and I know you love me, but that's not me. I'm not bringing that. That's not me. It's not me. It could be God for someone else. It's not God for you. So as you're asking me for that, I'm not bringing that to you because that's not what I'm giving you. I've come to the conclusion that if we grow, we're going to learn how to pray, not just prayers full of faith, because you can have all the faith in the world and ask God for something that doesn't belong to you, and good luck with that. And then you can begin to make the sin to where you begin to try to bring it yourself. I've done that even as a minister, where there was an area I was ambitious and I wanted to do something, and you know, God just wasn't in it, but I was going to make it work. Oh gosh, I used to joke and say that I want to put in the middle of a sanctuary all my best tries, a big mound of them, to remind myself that if you're on your own, you can do nothing. And if you try to bring something about that's not me, it's going to be in a trash pile. I really believe there are prayers of faith that go. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and they've got a ministry they do in South Africa. There's amazing supply that's coming for them. But ask what you would, and it'll be given to you. And it's God's will, and he supplies. Do you really think about this for a minute? And financial trials can be trials. God uses them. There's no doubt in my mind. In fact, God uses this. It's something that happens. It does. In fact, I got to say this. If you were to press me, I hate coming short on things. I don't like it. I don't know how you guys all feel. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't like not having enough to survive. I don't like even when the threat is there. It's not my cup of tea. If I had my choice, I'd do it very different. But God grows us through that. You know, there's so much that God is doing to keep us connected, to reconnect us if we feel disconnected. He's doing so much. The thing I worry about in the world, too, is we figured out so many ways to communicate but not talk truly. We figured out so many ways to connect but truly not be connected. It bothers me. We can shoot one-liners in a text. We can shoot one-liners on Facebook, or, you know, we can do Twitter. And listen, I try to use Facebook for God. And I mean, if I get true sense from the Lord, I'll put them out there. It's random. I'm not thinking of anybody. I'll just throw something out there. But I got to tell you, we've learned how to be so connected and disconnected at the same time that I do believe it has had an effect on the Christian, because we've learned to kind of feel like we're connected even when we're not. And that's not a good thing, because in the end, it's just going to mess up your perspective as whether you're connected or the right way or not. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done. Think about this. When God's word finds an abiding place in Mike Cipolla, truly, Mike Cipolla is going to be more prone to ask the things that God actually wants to give versus asking for things that God's not a part of. God deeply desires to do these things for you. God wants you to have answered prayers, absolutely. I really say that many times, and I've said this, sometimes there's a delay in answer to prayers that teaches me faith. Sometimes there's a permanent ban that I will not get what I'm praying for that teaches me obedience. And sometimes it's an exercise in absolute, you know, there's faith and I'm asking and God's in what I'm asking and he brings it just like that. You know, sometimes a non-answered prayer can be two things. It can be God saying no, or it can be God saying wait in a bit. Or can God be saying, wait in a while? There's a beauty to it, and there's a rhythm to it, and there's something we need to really grab a hold of. And it's really critical. Last verse, he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. And, you know, it's interesting, because we are a part of the vine, and we can bear fruit. I mean, this is not impossible. But many times, I'll be honest with you, Do you think a lot about the vine? I don't know that I do. I think when my life has gotten pressed, I thought about the vine, my connectedness or disconnectedness. But sometimes it takes absolute disaster where I go, am I connected still? Am I really paying attention? Am I, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes, you know, it gets past your mind. We're like, I don't know if I'm bearing fruit. I don't even care. You can say that. It's a dangerous thing to say because the Father wants you to bear fruit. And again, fruit is a variable. There's many fruits you can bear in Christ. And my point today is not to go through a prolonged list of fruit. But fruit is important. It's really important. And I've said this one too. The fruit that we bear, think about a fruit tree. What do all fruit trees have in common? People come and pick the fruit. Mm-hmm. All fruit trees have one thing in common. They're good for other or someone else to eat off of. The fruit tree doesn't eat its own fruit, but it stands for a source where others can come. So here's the other part. You know, it's interesting. The fruit that God will bear in you will do somebody good. Now, there's little fruits, too. You could speak the word of God. You could speak the word of the Lord to another, and God put it in you, and you released it, and that is a fruit. And they took that word and encouraged them. It helped them. It made them. It showed them something they needed to see. That's a fruit. That's a legitimate fruit. The things that somebody can take off of me as a Christian and can put to use is absolute fruit. It's something that I gave off like a fruit tree, and it's something that someone else was able to eat. Sure, maybe it is words, of course, but they could eat it just the same, and it made their life better. You have to understand, we've got sometimes a very narrow view of the fruit we bear, and many times we're technically where it's kind of like, well, that really wasn't a fruit, or I didn't really, and I've seen people do that. Well, it didn't happen in the sanctuary, it didn't do, and it's kind of crazy because the truth is, we're fruit trees out in this world, not in the sanctuary. In the sanctuary, we're just learning stuff. We're getting equipped. We're reading the Bible. But the truth is, you are the best fruit tree you can be when you're out there. And sometimes you're the only fruit tree around somebody. You know, sometimes we give counsel. Sometimes we pray for somebody and say, it's going to be all right. Sometimes we say, I believe the Lord is sharing the scripture with me. Sometimes we go over sometimes, and sometimes we literally do something. We'll bring somebody food. We'll do something. And all this is fruit bearing. All of it is really important. And the reason that it's important that we're connected to the vine, because here's the thing, like I told you, the very life that goes up through the vine goes out into the branches. The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus is in me. When you really look at this and then look back at that verse in Romans, it says, you know, the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from dead will give life to your mortal bodies. You're looking at the vine and you're looking at the branches. And you're actually looking at a direct connection. And I think personally, as we close today, abiding in Jesus is going to cause you to do a lot of things. And it's going to cause you to bear fruit. And it's really, really important. You know, the good part about being at my age, where you get a little older and you mature, is you definitely waste less time. And you definitely, I debate a lot less than I used to. Meaning, if somebody comes up to me and says, prayer's not a ministry, I'm going to tell them, you're absolutely wrong, dead wrong. There's no debate. That's settled. That's not only, it could be an actual ministry somebody has. If somebody said, well, praying is not bearing a fruit, again, I'll say you're wrong. It is. And then praying for others is bearing fruit that people need. I want to encourage you today because, listen, one thing that I know about, maybe we all do, I know how to be disconnected really well. I know how to sit in the midst of a company and still feel alone. Absolutely. I was really good at that, to be honest with you. That was a huge problem for me. I know how to be so disconnected, so separate, and none of it is good. And I know how to get by doing that, but that's not the way you want to get by as a believer. We need to be connected, and we need interconnection. Now, the reality is this. I've never been big on a ministry where everybody's best friends with everybody. I mean, you can probably have a handful of good friends, let's be totally honest. You can't have 100. Somebody once told me, I've got 100 good friends. I said, no, you don't. They said, yes, I do. I said, it's impossible. You don't have 100 good friends. I said, you have 100 acquaintances, and out of that, there might be a handful, maybe two handfuls of friends, but it's hard. Oh, that's great. I hope each of us knows thousands of people that we love. But let's gonna rise up and pray now. We're going to close, and we're just going to go forth today. And I want to encourage you. You are a vine branch, and you know what? That's a guarantee of the life of Christ in you. If you feel down today, If you feel a little disconnected today, let me explain something to you. Nothing could be technically farther from the truth. I mean that. Nothing could be farther from the truth. It just may be that our eyes need to see, we need to understand how connected Jesus has made us. Father, I stand before you today and I tell you, there's no doubt. There is no doubt that I stand before you today as part of the vine. And Armand is a part, he's a vine branch. And Yesenia is a vine branch. Everyone here, Inez, we're all, I could name every name. We're vine branches. We're connected to you, Jesus. And what I love is you're the vine, we're the vine branches, and the Father's the, he takes care of the vine. That's an amazing analogy of how it works. So because, Jesus, you came and you died for us, you identified with us. You didn't just die. You came as a man with limitations, with the ability to feel pain, with blood in your veins, with the ability to do wrong, and yet you did not. I thank you as we go today, because the reason you came to like one of us, that's you're also the vine and we're the branches. You're connected to us. Lord, it says in the scripture, Lord, that Christ is able to come to the need of his people because he himself took on flesh. It says he knows exactly what we're going through. He knows the weakness that we experience. He knows the burden of carrying the flesh. He understands it. And yet without sin, he is a faithful high priest. So I want to thank you, Jesus. I have never met anyone in the universe that understands me like you do. I have never met such a beautiful, perfect Savior, Lamb of God. And that this Mike Cipolla, this broken guy, this flawed guy, where you love me and you teach me and you're transforming me. I've never seen such a situation as I did when I met you and even my life today. You're amazing. I pray for connectedness to the vine as we dismiss. I pray connectedness to each other. Lord, I praise God for the family here and the friends I've got. Not only is it special, I don't think I'd be complete without it. This is a beauty of our connection with you and to each other. I prayed this morning that as we dismiss, touch us, God. Do the work in us in a special, special way. Lord, I even changing gears. I know my one daughter, Brittany, has a test that she's dealing with, a nursing test, and I know it's a big one. And I just pray you prosper her in this test. Lord, she's given years to this and that she, you know, would be completely certified. And I don't know what part of the journey, but I think we're near. And I pray a blessing for my daughter. I pray you would quicken her mind. I know she's knee-deep in books today, studying for the exam, the final tomorrow. So I pray you bless her, God. And we just put our spirits together here and say, do it, Lord Jesus, do it. Yes, take care of her,
yes, God.
Lord Jesus, in a yes. special way. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, one more thing. Lord, the enemy tries to make us feel disconnected. He works at it really hard. He lies in our ear so many times to make us feel alone. He does. He works overtime at contradicting the true truths about us. He works overtime that tries to paint an illusion of garbage that's not true. Pray a blessing this morning. Have your way.
Yes.
Have your way. Do that work. Bless my sisters. Bless
yes.
my brothers. Lord, my heart is to see the prosperity from your hand in the life of every single person in this room. My heart today is that they know you for who you are, that they walk with you, that they will lean on you, Lord. Lord, sometimes people say, I did this or I did that. I can't even face God. Lord, there's no time that we should ever feel like that. Lord, I've seen people say, I feel so broken. I feel so disconnected. And I see that the enemy lies and tries to have God's people feel like they've been severed from the vine when they have not. I do pray today you would move in us in a special way. I pray a spirit of encouragement to every single heart and show possibilities again. Lord, one thing about growing up, we can age and we can get cynical, and that's never going to be you. Cynicism is not something you've created. So I pray a freedom in the spirit, a breakthrough in the spirit, a strengthening in the spirit, in the name of Jesus. Touch us. Amen. God bless everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Love all of you. That loud sound. Hey, that picture I saw of...